اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر استغفر الله إن شاء الله after the remaining dua the lessons of hadith will be taking place from Riyadh al-Salihin. Brothers requested to participate, inshallah. صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Inshallah, we'll have a very short lesson of hadith. I'm going to try, inshallah, these sessions after Asr to keep them limited to about 20 minutes, 15-20 minutes, so that inshallah everyone has plenty of time to do ibadat and to recite Quran and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to engage in dua, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders and friends and my respected sisters listening online. Alhamdulillah, through the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ability granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every Sunday we have these lessons of hadith which take place. And the book that we go through when we conduct these lessons of ahadith is the famous book by Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, which is called Riyadu Salihin. Riyadu Salihin, the Gardens of the Pious. Inside of this book, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought those ahadith, those statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which will benefit a person in every aspect of their life. And if a person was to go through these book, through these ahadith and go through this book, then inshallah a person will understand how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from dawn till dusk, from morning till evening, how to utilize a person's time in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person can learn from this. That's why they mention in Islamic spirituality, in tasawwuf, if you want to start off and you want to read a book of hadith which will teach you all the ahadith of tasawwuf, all the ahadith of spirituality. Spirituality meaning how a person's life can become like the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From dawn till dusk, then there's no better book to start from than Riyadu Salihin. Unfortunately, our people have not attached themselves or connected themselves to this book as much. But mashallah, if we go to the Arab countries and amongst the Arabs, we see that they have such love for this book. In every single masjid, every single day, they have halaqat, they have gatherings wherein this book is, mudhakara is done of this book, a hadith are recited from this book, and people sit there and they benefit. So inshallah, we have covered quite a few chapters of this book, and now we're on to the next chapter, which is the 40th chapter of this book, and it's titled Babu Birril Walidaini wa Silatir Rahim. The chapter which discusses Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is going to bring those ahadith in this chapter which are related to treating one's parents with goodness, one's parents with compassion and kindness and love. And similarly, he's going to bring ahadith which are related to maintaining family ties, establishing family ties. One of the most important aspects in Islam, which unfortunately is very neglected, especially amongst those who are religious, amongst those who are pious, amongst those who, mashallah, don the jubbah, have the beard, come to the masjid, perform the 5-time salah, but many times they're very negligent of family ties and maintaining family ties, establishing family bonds. We are under the misunderstanding, unfortunately, that if someone does good for me, you know, tit for tat behavior. If someone's good to me, I'll be good back to them. If my relatives are good to me, then I'll reciprocate in a manner accordingly. However, if someone is not good to me, if someone does not treat me properly, then why should I bother with this person? Why should I give this person the time of the day? This is our mentality, unfortunately. However, this is not the quality, this is not the characteristic of a Muslim. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized to us, inshallah, in this chapter, many ahadith will come in front of us, wherein we will understand that does not matter how our relatives behave with us, they still have a haq over us, they still have a right over us. Especially those, al-aqrab fal-aqrab, especially starting from those who are closest to us, our parents, our spouses, our children, and then moving on to those who are distant relatives. To the extent that many times, you know, those who are friends, like in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, when a person's parents pass away, when a person's father passes away, then maintain good ties with the friends of your father. That person who was a friend of your father when your father was alive, then also maintain a good ties with them, because by doing so you will make your father happy. He was just a friend of your father, he had nothing to do with you. But still, Islam attaches such emphasis, or emphasizes so much upon maintaining ties, maintaining connections. That's why inshallah we're going to mention the first ayat of the Quran, the first ayat which Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings. In the last chapter he brought this ayat as well, because inside of this ayat many different huquq, many different rights and responsibilities have been mentioned. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم. In this ayat, about 8 to 9 different حقوق, different responsibilities, different rights have been mentioned. That we as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us upon this dunya, upon this earth, for a very temporary, for a very short amount of time. And after we pass away, when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there will be the hisab, the reckoning. And no soul can escape that reckoning, except for someone who is extremely special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves from that day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a famous hadith that 70,000 people of my ummah, 70,000 people from my followers will enter Jannah without hisab, without reckoning. However, majority of us will have to go through this hisab. And that's why this dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to constantly make, Allahumma hasibni hisabin yasira. Oh Allah, when my reckoning takes place on the Day of Judgment, make it a very easy reckoning. Make it a very easy reckoning. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to take us to task for every small incident, for every small action, then we'll be destroyed. We'll be destroyed. Because we've got no chance. So many seconds and minutes of our time pass in ghaflat, pass in futility. So many hours and days and weeks and months of my life have been wasted. How will I answer for this time? That's why we need to make this dua. Allahumma hasibni hisabin yasira. Oh Allah, when my reckoning takes place on the Day of Qiyamah. The Day of Qiyamah is known as Yawmul Hisab, the Day of Reckoning, because this is what it's all going to be about. Everybody's going to be asked, and we're going to be asked not privately in a small separate chamber, but ala ru'usil khala'iq, in front of everybody. From Adam alayhi salam till the last person who ever walked upon the earth, in front of all of these people, Allah is going to expose everything that I've ever done. So we do dua, all of these duas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Allahumma asturna, Allah, in mashallah, very beautiful dua mentioned in the mentioned in the Dalailul Khairat. Imam Jazuli rahmatullahi alayhi mentions a very beautiful dua. Allahumma asturna bisitrika al-jameel. اللهم استرنا بسترك الجميل. And there's so many other du'as. اللهم استرنا فوق الأرض وتحت الأرض ويوم العرض عليك. اللهم لا تخزني فإنك بعالم ولا تعذبني فإنك علي قادر. Oh Allah, don't disgrace me. اللهم لا تخزني. Oh Allah, don't humiliate me. فإنك بي اللهم لا تخزني فإنك بي قادر. فَإِنَّكَ بِعَلِيمٍ. Oh Allah, you know everything about me. Do not disgrace me. Do not humiliate me. Oh Allah, please keep my secrets hidden. The faults I've done, the sins I've done. That's why if someone comes to you and says, have you ever done this sin in your life? And you're putting the question, I'm someone who tries to always tell the truth. And now this person has put me on the spot and said, have you ever done this guna in your life? Maybe they're just saying it. You do not have to say the truth and say, yes, I have done this guna. Rather, it is better for you to lie and say, no, I haven't done this guna. No, I've not done this sin. Because Allah Ta'ala has covered it. Allah Ta'ala has hidden it. Why do you need to expose it in front of this person? Obviously, unless you've been taken to court for something, in which case you have to admit it. But generally, we're supposed to conceal our sins. Allah has concealed it for us. Many a person look at us and think we're good, think we're pious, just by our outlook and our apparent, you know, what we're showing to people. However, Allah Ta'ala knows how many things we've done. But Allah Ta'ala has not disgraced us. So we do these du'as, inshaAllah. Anyway, on the Day of Qiyamah, all of the questions will be about huquq and rights. Either the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the rights of His creation. And the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are easy to understand. Salah, zakah, hajj, all of these things that Allah ta'ala has made His rights. Many of them are discussed and talked about. But the rights of the creation many times are talked about, but unfortunately we overlook and we undermine. Especially when it comes to family ties. Because those who are closest to us, when we fall out with them, we fall out very hard with them. And many times it takes years. You have brothers who have not spoken to each other for many a year. Why? Because some feud, some family petty issue. They don't even want to see each other's faces. They don't even have it in them to actually go and say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to each other, unfortunately. But this is the greatest thing. That's why in one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi mentions that this, you know, family ties, on the Day of Qiyamah, it will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, whoever joined me, meaning whoever maintained family ties, O Allah, save them, protect them, and whoever destroyed family ties and broke family ties, O Allah, you destroy them as well. So we have to be very, very careful. Inshallah, many hadith will come. Inside of this ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning different huquq, different rights that people have over us. The first one is the parents. Straight after, in the Quran many a times, Allah Ta'ala mentions His worship. That the first responsibility we have as the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is to worship Allah Ta'ala. And straight after that, Allah Ta'ala will mention respecting a person's parents, looking after your parents. وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship me alone, and straight after worshipping me, be good to your parents, be kind to your parents, fulfill the rights of your parents. This comes straight after the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama mentioned because there's actually a very unique similarity between these two. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then straight after that fulfilling, being good to your parents, being kind to your parents. There is a link between this. And the link is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us. Allah Ta'ala is the one who actually gave us life. This is our yaqeen, this is our belief system as Muslims. Allah Ta'ala is my khaliq, my creator, He created me. But then the physical means for me coming into this dunya, into this world, were my parents, my father and my mother. And therefore straight after Allah Ta'ala mentioning, you know, His right, which is to worship Him and to not obey Him and to not disobey Him and to not associate any partners with Him, straight after this Allah Ta'ala mentions the rights of the parents. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions to us in the hadith, man lam yashkurin nasa lam yashkurillah. Whoever does not express gratitude to human beings, to the humans, cannot express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning someone who is close to Allah ta'ala, worships Allah ta'ala, obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will also have a habit of expressing shukr to people who do good upon them. And out of all of the people who have ever done any act of kindness upon us, those who have done the greatest act of kindness and goodness upon us are our parents. And that's why straight after Allah Ta'ala mentioning, worship me, He always goes on to mention, and fulfill your family, and be kind to your parents, be good to your parents. Maintain a good connection with your parents. Never let your parents become upset with you. Never let your parents become, the color of their face change because of what you've done. Don't even let this happen. And then Allah Ta'ala goes on to mention, وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. This ayat has come in the last chapter, so I'm not going to discuss in detail. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. And your family members. Straight after parents, your family members. وَالْيَتَامَى. And orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And the poor ones. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. I explained this in the last chapter. Those neighbors who live close to you. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. Those neighbors who are at a distance from you. Ulama have explained this in many different ways. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. Someone who is a friend of yours, a companion of yours. A companion of yours also has rights over you. وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ. And the traveler. They also have rights that we need to fulfill. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. And any slaves or servants, etc. Or we can also put into this category any employees a person has. They can also fall into this category. Someone who we are responsible for. All of these people have different rights over us. Inshallah, I'm going to recite one or two more ayat. My throat is also not well. Ramadan started and I fell a little bit ill. So my throat is also recovering. And then we've got to go through Taraweeh as well. So inshallah, I'm just going to mention another two ayat inshallah, and I'm going to stop. In the next ayat, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. This is the first ayat of Surah An-Nisa. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً ۚ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Fear Allah, the one in whose name you ask from people. Many times what happens is when we're in a time of need and we're asking people, we take Allah's name to express importance or to attach importance to that thing. Either we take a qasam, wallahi, you know, I swear by Allah. Or many times, you know, people who ask, people who are in need, beggars, etc., or people who are poor, are going through a difficulty, will say, in Allah's name. You go to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, you see many times these things happening. They say, in Allah's name, Allah ke waste, Allah ke waste, for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah, give something. So in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, fear Allah, the one with whose name you ask from people. You take His name to ask from people, so fear Him. You try to create fear in the hearts of other people by taking Allah's name. That Allah ke waste mujhe kuch de do. We take the name of Allah Ta'ala, the person in front of me is going to say, he took the name of Allah. We'll feel obliged. Fear will be created in the one who is in front of the person. So the one who is taking the name of Allah should also have that fear. And then straight after that, Allah Ta'ala mentions wal arham. And fear family ties. Fear, you know, breaking family ties, destabilizing family ties, not fulfilling family rights. You know, I'm going to come to this hadith inshallah later on, but I'll mention this already. You know, we have this misconception that fulfilling family ties means people are good to me, I will be good back to them. Barabar sarabar. Someone's good to me, I'll also be good back to them. However, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, laysa al-wasilu bil-mukafi. The one who maintains family ties is not the one who does tit for tat. That if they do good to me, I'll do good back to them. But if they don't want to talk to me, I don't want anything to do with them. My wife's not going to go to their house. My kids are going to go know any of their kids because look at the way they behaved with me. You know, we have this arrogance, this pride, this haughtiness. How dare that person do that to me? I'm never going to talk to them until they apologize, until they sort their behavior out. That person probably doesn't even know. Many times the person doesn't even know that he'd done anything wrong. But you're waiting for him to apologize. You're waiting for them to sort their behavior out. Years will pass, months will pass, and then our family ties will break. Then the other people start realizing, you know what, what's going on? These people have gone distant from us. And then many times they may not have the same religious inclinations as you. They'll think, oh, if they don't want to talk to us, we don't want to talk to them. And then the families just split. So that's why in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, maintaining, establishing family ties. Remember, waslun means to join. To join family ties does not mean that you do tit for tat. Someone's good to me, I'll be good back to them. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to mention the wasil, the person who establishes family ties, is the one who, when their family members break ties from them, they struggle to then join. So if your family members break ties from you, they don't want anything to do with you, they're talking bad about you, they're saying things to you, they're saying things to your wife, they're saying things to your kids, they are doing everything in their ability to distance themselves from you, you don't give up. You say, no, this is my responsibility. This is a haqq that Allah Ta'ala has placed upon me, that I need to go and try and do wasal, and try and join, try and maintain, try and bond with my family members. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand this. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to practice upon these few words. Inshallah, every Sunday we have our lesson of hadith. Every Tuesday, the programs have been put up on the screen. Every Tuesday we will have stories of the Sahaba. It's a book which mentions the lives of the pious people. It starts off with the Sahaba, so we're going through the stories of the Sahaba, inshallah. So every Tuesday this will happen after Asr. Again, we'll try and keep 15-20 minutes, because we don't want to burden people with lengthy talks, so people can go back to, inshallah, reciting Quran. It's a very blessed time, the time between Asr and Maghrib. So we should use this time for the tilawat of Allah Ta'ala, for dhikr, adhkar, for dua. If you're feeling really tired and if you're feeling really, you know, worn down at the end of the day, still at least sit with the tasbih in your hand. You can say subhanallah, 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 la ilaha illallah, durood sharif, sallallahu ala sayyidina mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, istighfar. These things we can engage, we can keep our tongue moist with, inshallah. Nobody should sit there and idly in futility, wasting time. Everybody should utilize every single second and every single moment of Ramadan to the best of their ability, inshallah. And also, sorry, on Thursday we have lessons, the spiritual dimensions of Ramadan, lessons in spirituality that we can take from Ramadan, from the Ihya ul-Mudin of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. We'll be discussing this every Thursday, inshallah. After Asr Salah, brothers requesting to, inshallah, participate and benefit, and also spread the word to others who can participate and benefit. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.